As we begin this week's episode, I want to remind you right off the bat of something that is very important that you not forget. Life isn't about you. A king me is going to try to convince you otherwise, but I assure you, the king is wrong. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 declares that all glory and dominion and power belong to God and God alone. All of it. King me is nowhere to be found. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, it proclaims, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will," note this, it's by God's will, not King me, it's by God's will that everything exists and has been created, Revelation 4:11. One chapter later, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we're told that the angels cry out with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Don't miss this now. Worthy is the Lamb, not King me. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus Christ alone. The verse goes on to say, "To receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Revelation 5, verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 11, verse 36, that from him and through him and to him are all things. To him, not King me, to God be the glory forever. Amen. In Romans chapter 16, verse 27, we read, "To the only wise God be glory forevermore." Hopefully, you're starting to get the idea. Hopefully, by now, you're beginning to grasp and understand the fact that God and God alone deserves all the glory all the time. So based upon that truth in Scripture, if you truly believe that only God is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise, then I submit that your life will be a daily reflection of that belief. No matter what you do, when you do it, where it's being done, always, always, always do it for God's glory. Now, just think about that for a moment. God isn't expecting us to live a life that occasionally or even mostly glorifies Him. Every aspect of your life, every moment of every day is to be lived in a way that He and He alone receives recognition and praise and honor. God doesn't want partial honor or a little bit of the glory. He alone is worthy of it all. So watch this now. Giving 90% of the glory to God isn't enough. 98% of the glory going to God is not enough. God deserves 100% of the glory 100% of the time. Now, I understand that's a tall order. I mean, living a life that in every way and at all times glorifies God is certainly a noble and holy endeavor, right? But is it even possible 100% of the time? Can you actually function in a way that every thought, every word, every action is in every way 100% reflecting to the world around you the absolute greatness and majesty, wonder and supremacy of the Almighty God of the universe? My answer to you is yes. Yes, you can. Philippians 4:13 assures us we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. You see, with God, nothing is impossible. All right, so I have a question for you that first might seem a little bit off topic, but stick with me. Have you ever had that eerie feeling that someone's watching you? You whip your head around to see who it is, only to discover that there isn't anybody there, or that the people around you aren't even looking your way. Kind of creepy, right? Well, the fact is, people are watching. People are observing your life every day. In my younger years, I did a fair amount of stage acting. One of the things that my director drilled into our minds was the fact that every moment, every second that you're on that stage, whether you have a speaking part or not, people are watching you. So always, always, always stay in character. I want to submit that's a great lesson for life as well. No matter what you may or may not be doing, there are people who are watching you. So always, always, always be godly. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. I want to focus on that word deed. What exactly is a deed, and how do I make that deed glorify God? Well, usually we think of a deed as a specific activity, a task that we have to accomplish. We define a deed as something tangible that we do. For example, we may think that helping out in the church nursery, or going on a short-term missions trip, or raking the neighbor's leaves, we think of those as being good deeds. And they are. They certainly can and do include those things. But that simple word deed in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, refers to so much more. You see, that word deed is something as simple as a scowl on your face, an over-exaggerated sigh, crossing your arms to make a point, or offering a friendly pat on the back for an encouragement. It refers to any type of physical action that you may perform, including, watch this now, including your body language. Did you ever consider the fact that even your body language should be glorifying God? When you stop and think about it, that word deed is indeed a very powerful word. Paul is simply saying that each and every individual thing that you do, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, God considers that to be a deed that should glorify Him. So even the raising of an eyebrow, the shrug of your shoulders, the glaring of your eyes, or even a smile, are all deeds that should be done in a way that honors and glorifies God, never King me. In short, every aspect of even our body language is to be considered a deed that should bring honor and glory to God and God alone. Does that seem like it's an impossibility? I assure you it's not. The same truth applies here as it does with our words. You may remember an earlier podcast. You see, your deeds to glorify, for your deeds to glorify God, your thoughts must first glorify Him. Now, I kind of stammered and stumbled on that, so let me repeat it so that we're clear. In order for your deeds to bring glory to God, it begins with your thoughts glorifying Him. It begins in the heart. You've heard me say often in this podcast that what you think becomes what you do. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 27:19 says, as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. It always begins with getting King me off the throne of your heart and letting God take his rightful place. Whom are you worshiping and why? I think it's also important for us to realize that these deeds are not referring only to the ones that are seen by others when you're out in public. The word deed includes each and everything that you do, whether you're in public or in private. You see, even the things you do when you're all by yourself are to be done out of a heart that is intentionally focused on glorifying God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3 tells us that the Lord is a God who knows, and by Him, watch this now, your deeds are weighed. I want you to consider that verse carefully. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, let me repeat it again. The Lord is a God who knows, and by Him your deeds are weighed. You see, God knows each and every one of your deeds. He knows what you do in public, and He knows what you do in private. He's also fully aware of the reason, the motivation of your heart behind what you do in public and what you do in private. You see, He not only knows what you do, He knows why you're doing it. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, God says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. You may be familiar with the words of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, which tells us that the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, God is the one who sees the heart and the mind, Jeremiah 20, verse 12. And on the scales of God's holy justice, your deeds, my deeds, are seriously considered. But watch this now. God places more weight on the motivation of our heart, on the thoughts that we're thinking and whom we're worshiping as we perform the deed and speak the words. What are you watching? Does it glorify God? What are you listening to? Does it glorify God? What are you reading? Does it glorify God? What activities do you participate in? Do they glorify God? What jokes do you laugh at? Does it glorify God? On the list can go, but you need to understand, watch this now. God not only searches your heart, but Jeremiah 17:10 tells us he examines your mind. Yes, our deeds are important to God. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. However, God is not going to reward our deeds, no matter how great they might be, if the thoughts, the worship, and the heart's motivation behind them is wrong. In order for our words and our deeds to glorify God, our thoughts must first glorify Him. What are you thinking? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? Who is sitting on the throne of your heart? I submit that we should be able to confidently say, right along with the psalmist of Psalms 26, verse 2, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart. Examine my mind. You see, God loves you, my friend, and His purpose in your life is to refine you, to make you more and more like Christ, Romans 8:29. As you discipline yourself to daily dig into His Word, as you choose to yield to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart, God will reveal to you the things that He wants you to change, the things that need to be tweaked and adjusted in your life, in your thought process, in your heart. He wants you to daily think in a way that glorifies Him, so that you will daily choose those things that bring Him glory. What you think will become what you do. After all is said and done, you should thank God that He sees your heart. You should praise Him that He tests your heart and examines your mind, because His deepest desire is always and only for your good and His glory. As we continue our look at Colossians 3:17 in this week's episode, I want you to note that Paul is saying that each and everything that you say, as well as each and everything that you do, is to both be said and done in the name of Jesus Christ, with the sole intent of glorifying God. Let me once again repeat a concept that has saturated this podcast. To glorify God in everything you say and everything you do, you must first glorify Him in everything you think. In Luke 10, verse 27, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And by now, if you've been following this podcast, you know my definition of the word all. All means all, and that's all means. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So here's my question. The answer is obvious if you've been listening. How much of your life, how much of my life is to glorify God? The answer? All of it. How many of the things that you say and do each day are to glorify God? The answer? All of them. All means all, and that's all means. Even the most mundane, routine, non-spiritual things that you think and say and do are to always be thought, said, and done in a way that glorifies God. Again, this is not impossible. If you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first and foremost be glorified in your every moment thinking. To glorify Him in your every moment thinking, you need to be worshiping Him. You need to get King Me off the throne of your heart and allow God to take His rightful place. Well, the foundation that we have been building upon and will continue to build upon through the entirety of this Point of Purity podcast, however many episodes go in the future, how many episodes we've done in the past, here's the foundation. You were designed, you were created, you were formed and fashioned to know God and to live a godly life that brings honor and glory to Him in everything you say and do. That's the primary purpose of your life. That's the reason why you're sucking in air right now. That's the reason why blood is coursing through your veins and the synapses are firing in the brains. The reason you are alive is to glorify God. And when you choose to do what God created you to do, watch this now, then and only then will you truly experience the fullness of joy that God so desperately wants you to enjoy. There's a direct connection. Now, listen to me. There's a direct connection between glorifying God in your thinking and glorifying Him in your speaking and doing. What you think will become what you say and what you do. To live godly, you've got to think godly. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, Steve, I got it. Enough. Move on. Well, no, I'm not. We need to not just get it. It needs to sink in and stay there. You see, all too often we focus our attention on changing the outward behavior. If I can stop doing this, if I can fix this, then everything's going to be okay. That can lead us dangerously close to legalism. It also will lead to feelings of discouragement and defeat because we will fall short. We will fail. Let me encourage you with this. Constant and consistent victory is possible. You don't have to live a defeated life. Believe me, I know. For years, I focused all of my attention on changing outwardly, trying to fix the problem. I tried to behave the way I thought I knew God wanted me to. I tried in my own strength, in my own power, my own ability to live a life that impressed everyone around me with the things I knew about God and how godly I was. During that time in my life, I constantly struggled with the nagging feelings of defeat and failure. In fact, in seeing the doctor, I was diagnosed as depressive. I wasn't, but that's where I was at mentally in my thought process. I was failing in my endeavors. I'm a failure. That was the lie the enemy kept whispering to me. And so I repetitively cycled through playing with my temptation, giving in, sinning, feeling the shame, recognizing the guilt, and therefore confessing, only to turn around and play again with my temptation and sin and confess and play and sin and confess over and over and over again. But I can talk to you right now and in this podcast, in this episode, right here, this very moment, I can boldly declare and I can honestly exclaim, no more. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. No more. You see, once I finally faced my temptation and identified it for what it was, the worship of a false god, king me, I was guilty of idolatry. Once I finally identified that, I was then able to develop a plan from Scripture through the leading of the Holy Spirit to stay far away from it. That's one of the most important verses that I memorized many years ago that has been a mantra for me is Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8. Keep to a path far from her. Don't even go near the door of the house. You see, the door is the entry point. Don't even play around with the doorknob. Stay far away from the temptation. You know, in a lot of ways, the Pure Man ministry and everything that we do in this ministry is a direct result of my personal journey through the Scriptures, learning many times the hard way that the sin that I battled with is not stronger than God. Let me repeat that. The sin that you battle with is not stronger than God. The temptations that seemingly overwhelm us are actually powerless over us. You can live a consistent godly life. You can learn how to walk in lasting victory over any sinful habit. You can learn how to live a godly life that glorifies God in everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do. And it starts within the pages of Scripture. It's hard to develop a pattern of life that consistently glorifies our Heavenly Father. I admit that. It's hard, but it's not impossible. To glorify God in everything you say and do, first glorify Him in everything you think. Jesus put it this way in Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. It begins in your thoughts. There's a powerful connection between glorifying God in your thinking and glorifying Him in your speaking and your doing. Let's face it, tens of thousands of thoughts cross our mind every single day. Many of them we're not even cognizant, we're not even consciously aware of. But each one of these thoughts impacts and influences our choices, our decisions, our attitudes, our demeanor, our behavior. Our thoughts, our perceptions, our assumptions dictate how we will react emotionally to an event. Our emotions determine our behaviors. It all starts with our mind, with our thought process. Okay, we're going to hit the pause button here until next week's episode. We're going to continue our mini-series on how to glorify God. Now, in the meantime, between now and next week, if you'd like to learn more about today's study, or if you're interested in learning more about this Pure Man ministry that I keep talking about, the ministry that we have globally, reaching out to men and women, helping them, those who are struggling with sexual addiction, the Pure Man ministry. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry or today's study, go to our website. There's a multitude of resources available to you. You can find our website at www.thepuritycoach. That's the Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, coach, all one word, .com. One of those resources that I would like to highlight for you here is a book that just came out last week. It is literally hot off the presses. My latest book, entitled Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity. Again, the title is Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity. It's available right now on Amazon.com. You see, when you find yourself sexually thirsty, and you're feeling like you're going to shrivel up and die if that need isn't met, what do you choose to do? Where do you go to find real satisfaction? Let's admit it. You are thirsty. But you're not thirsting for sexual fulfillment. You're not thirsting for physical satisfaction. That's the lie. That's the deceit. You're not thirsting for a pop or a rush that those sexual hormones are providing you. The thirst is actually for something different, something deeper. Your soul is searching for something that only God can give. But you keep going to a placebo. You keep going to that which cannot provide. It cannot meet the need because it is not God. That's why lust and porn and masturbation are continuously failing to genuinely satisfy. That's why we keep going back for more and more and more, never having that thirst purely satisfied. The book Purely Satisfied makes it clear that men and women need to catch God's vision for life. And the only way to dethrone King Me and allow God to be the king of our hearts is through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So this book, Purely Satisfied, touches the nerve endings of where we are today with a fresh insight and the secret to real healing. This is a must read. Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, available now on Amazon. Let me encourage you to go directly to our website again for those resources. Check out our resources page. Go to Amazon.com and purchase your copy of Purely Satisfied today. And if you've not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, well, let me encourage you to do so today. I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner, reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.